Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Ayin Gimel. And we're beginning on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, about 10-15 lines down from the top, with the words Tanu Rabbanan. And we begin to discuss the following brisa. Mishyesh lo chomesh noshim. If a man has five wives, again, the Torah never requires or recommends that a person have more than one wife, and under certain situations it is halachically allowed, albeit almost never recommended that a person have more than one wife, and there are many other caveats involved in this. So here we're talking in theory. I doubt that this really happened on anyone of a regular basis. But if a person were to have five wives, we're trying to understand the principle. They each have their own separate house, and that's where they live, and they are supported, obviously, by their husband. In fact, one of the requirements if a person has more than wife is he has to have the financial capability to support all of his wives. So, Tanu Rabbanan, Mi Sheyesh Lo Chomesh Noshim, if somebody has five wives, Mekablos Pras Mi Baleim, and he supports them. As Rashi points out, for Kol Achas Yesh Lo Dira Levada, each of them has their own apartment, their own place that they're living in that same chotzer, and he has his five wives, which he sends food to each of their houses. In fact, Aloch is that they must live in the same proximity. You're not allowed to have wives in one city and then in another city, because it could end up that the children might not know that the other children exist, and Rahman al-Islam, a person could end up marrying his half-sister. In any event, this brisa tells us that if a husband has these five wives, what is their halachic status? In terms of, are they considered as one entity for this courtyard, in terms of an Eruv Chatzeros, etc., or not? Similarly, the brisa continues with Chamesh Avodim. Chamesh Avodim, if a person has five avodim, these are avodim Yisraelim, these are persons who work for him, or lav davka, they have to be an eved. It can be even a misharis. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch, this din is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah as misharsim. They are persons who just work for him. They're like either housekeepers or workers of some sort, and he supplies them a house to stay at, and they work for him. So these chamisha avodim, also, they have their own place to live, but he supplies them with food. Mekablin pras mirabeyin. The rav over here is the baal, is the person who is supporting them or paying for them. So in these situations, what is the halachic status? Do these five wives or these five servants, do they consist as a single entity because they're supported by the husband or the master, or are they considered as five separate entities, and therefore they would each have to contribute separately to an Eruv Chatzeros? So here we have a machlokas. Rehudim and Beseira versus Rehudim and Bava. Rehudim and Beseira, Matir Benoshim. He says, in the case with the five wives, they are considered as one entity, but in terms of the servants, they're considered as five separate entities, and they would have to each contribute, or else they would ruin it. And Rehudim and Bava says the exact opposite. He's Matir Avodim. He says the Avodim are more like a single entity, and the five wives are a separate entity. Rashi explains that in the first situation where he's Osir B'Avodim, Rehudim and Beseira, he says, She'enu Nimshach Machot. They're not really supported by him in the same way that wives are. Wives are really his requirement to support them, and therefore they're considered as one entity, all five wives, even though they have separate houses, whereas the Avodim are not. And again, Rehudim and Bava says the exact opposite. Amar Rav, my time to Rehudim and Bava. Rav asks, what is the reasoning behind Rehudim and Bava? So he brings down, Dersiv, Daniel Bisra Malka. Daniel was always considered to be in the gate of the king. Bisra means the shar of the melech. And Rashi explains, Bekol Malkum Shu Choshiv Le Bisra Malka. Wherever he is considered as if he's under the king's domain. In other words, if you're a servant to the king, so then you're, wherever you are, you're always like on call. You're always 24-7 under his responsibility and under his achrayis. And therefore, that is why Rebbe Yehuda Mababa says that the workers, the servants over here, the avodim, are more under his domain and considered like one single entity than the wives, who are separate people, and therefore they're not considered, according to Rebbe Yehuda Mababa, as one entity together. Tosus brings down from the Rabbeinu Hananel that the simon over here is twofold, that Rebbe Yehuda Mababa, Bava, which is his father's name, also means a gate, a shar. So it's a play on the words, and he says that this allusion that Rav brings down from this pasuk is not only the reason, but it's also a simon, it's also a mnemonic to help you remember Daniel Bisra Malka, that Daniel is in the shar, in the bava of the king, and remember that way that Rehudim and Bava is the one that says the avodim are all together and the wives are not. So it's a good mnemonic to remember between the two Rehudas, Rehudim and Beseira, and Rehudim and Bava, which one said which. Now the Gemara continues, it says, Pshita ben etzel aviv kidamorin. And yesterday we share, we learned that if the father is living alone in that courtyard with his five sons, albeit they're all in their separate houses, they're all considered one entity. And today we just learned now, Isha etzel ba'ala, the eved etzel rabo. These two scenarios the man with the five wives or the man with the five workers. So in that situation, this is pluk. So this is a machlokes, the Rav Yehuda and the Seir, Rav Yehuda and Baba. As we just outlined, this is in fact a machlokes. And now the Gemara asks, we set it up, we said what the case is with the father and his sons, with the father and his wives, the father and his workers. What about the following case, a Talmid Eitz Rab Omai? What's the halachic status of this courtyard where you have a Rebbe who is supporting his Talmidim? In many situations, it was a responsibility to the Rebbe. This was the way it was in Europe all the time. To a certain extent, it's the way it is today, that the Rosh Yeshiva is responsible to pay the kollel stipends and to pay the Talmidim as yeshiva to find a place to stay with them. It's not that they're necessarily paying tuition. In some places, it's a big cover to be in that yeshiva, and they have to find a way to support them. So that's the way it often was. In those days, Talmud was supported by his Rebbe. So the Gemara now asks, the Talmud Eitzel Rabo Mai, how do we view this Talmud who's being supported by the Rebbe? Is he considered a separate entity from the Rebbe? Or no, he's considered subordinate to the Rebbe, so much so that they're considered like one entity. Just like the father to the son, so too is the Rebbe to his Talmidim. Toshma, we try to answer this from the following two scenarios. Number one, the Rav, when Rav was a Talmid Bei Rabbi Chiya, he learned by his uncle Rabbi Chiya. So, Amar, Rav said, "Ein anu tzrichim la'orev." We, who are all at the table of Rabbi Chiya, our Rebbe, we do not have to participate in the Eruv. We're subordinate to our Rebbe, Rabbi Chiya. Sha'arei anu somchin al shulchan shel Rabbi Chiya. We are totally dependent upon Rabbi Chiya in this situation, and therefore we are in this situation, not a separate entity, but we're viewed under his domain. And similarly, when Rabbi Chiya was a Talmud learning by Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rebbe, so Rabbi Chiya, Bei Rebbe, when he was a Talmud by Rebbe, Omar, Rabbi Chiya said the same thing. Ein anu tzrichim la'orev, we don't have to participate in an Eruv Chatzeros. So yeah, we're totally subordinate to our Rebbe. Shari anu somchin al shulchano shel Rebbe. And therefore, the case of a Rebbe supporting his Talmidim is like a father supporting his children. As long as there's nobody else over there, they don't have to go and participate in an Eruv Chatzeros. They have a built-in Eruv Chatzeros, so to say. They're considered one entity. Hadigmor asks, "Boy, me na bai me rabba, bai yes rabba. What about if you have chamisha shigavu eseruvan? You have five people that are living in one chotzer, five totally separate entities living in one chotzer, and now they're going to participate in some sort of an eruv with other chotzeros, either shitaf mavayos, or they're going to incorporate more people into their eruv chotzeros. Kishemolichin eseruvan l'mokum acher, and instead of keeping a box of matzahs in their houses, they're going to bring it over to another place that they're joining with." So, do we say Eruv Echad Lekulon, or Tzrichin Eruv Lekol Echad V'Echad? So, we are asking here now a question which we'd actually discussed beforehand, but the discussion is now continuing again. Are these people considered that they each have to go and put in a matzah, they have to participate in the Eruv Chatzeros, each one's individually, or can one person do it on all of their behalf, and they are considered as one entity, that therefore their shaliach, their one person, can contribute on their behalf? That's the question that Abaye asked Rabbah. Amalei, Rabbah answers, Erev Echad Lekulon, that one person can act on their behalf and just put into the Eruv Chatzeros that they're now making, or the sheet of advice that they're now making with somebody else, and they're all considered one entity. They don't have to each individually put in. Abaye questions his Rebbe. He says, "Rabbah, really? For Achin, when you had the case of the brothers, the Chigavu Domu, we said, even though they're receiving, their father is supporting them, and they're analogous to the case we have if there's nobody else in that Chotzer, so all the entity is considered one entity, and they don't have to make their own Erev Chatzeros, but it said over there, but if they participate with somebody else, they do have to. So how is this any different? Why would here we view these five people as any different than the five sons?" So the Gemara says, "Hachma iskin." The Rabbah says back to Abaye, "You know, we're dealing over here with kigom deiko diurin bahadayu. Oh, no, because there are other people there. So therefore, they're not one entity. When you consider that there are other people there as well, the migu dahani asri, just like the other people that are in their chotzer ruin it for them, so too, hani nami asri. So in this situation, each of them ruins it for each other. When they're going to be mishtatev with somebody else, so then they have to be considered each as a separate entity. It's only when nobody else is there, then they can be considered like one entity. And I'll show you that this is right. The Gemara says, hachanami mishtav. It makes good sense, because Tiktani, our Mishnah said, emasai, when are they obligated to go? We just said a moment ago, Tani Srichim call Srichin Eru Lukalecha Biachad, under what circumstances? When they're going and placing their Eru in another place, then Srichin Eru Lukalecha Biachad, each of them has to contribute to it. But Avalim Hoya Eruvim Boat Slum, but if the Eru is coming to them, and here's the critical part, Oh She'ain Diur anymore in the Chatzer, or there is nobody else living with them in the Chatzer, then ain't srichin liyarv, then they don't have to go and each individually contribute. They can be considered as one entity. If there's nobody else living there, they're considered as one entity. So to over here, shma mina, the same thing applies. Chamisha shagavu seiruvan. If they're going to another entity and nobody else is living there, then eruv echad lekulan, and they don't have to go, and each one srichin eruv lekul echad the echad. Now the Gemara asks another question. Rav Chiya bar Avin asked the following shaila from Rav Sheshes. B'nei bei Rav, you have the Talmidim of the yeshiva. The ochle nama bibaga, they're eating their food in the hotel. Rashi says baga means beish ushpizo bibikot. They're eating in the hotel in the valley that they're staying in that city. But they sleep, v'asu ubaise bibei Rav, but they sleep in the base medrash. So, which is considered their home? Do we say where they eat? We had this discussion, Rav Shmuel had a machlokas in this. Rav said where they eat, and Shmuel said where they sleep. So the same idea is brought down over here. They're sleeping in the base medrash, but they're eating in the hotel in the town. So, also Rav, but they're sleeping in the base medrash. So, ki mashchinen l'hutchuma, in regards to the halachas of tchum, where is their focal point for Shabbos? Do we say mibei rav mashkin olay, where they sleep is where their focal point is? Or mibaga mashkin olay? Or do we say it's from where their food is? Normally with an eruv tuchumim, it's where you place your seuda that determines your location. So here too, do we say they're eating here and they're sleeping here, so you look at where they're sleeping, or do you look at where they're eating? So that was the question that Rav Chiya bar Avin asked Rav Sheshes, and Omalei, Rav Sheshes told him, mashkin on mibei rav, you look at from the place where they sleep. Mor says, really? What happens if somebody wants to switch his focal point and he doesn't live in a city and he's not considered the city within Dalet Amos? So he lives in this house over here and he wants to move a certain distance to have his focal point move, let's say 1,000 amma away. So he puts his sudos, he puts where he wants his focal point to be, as long as it's within 2,000 amas of his house, because that's where he's going to be sleeping, so that's fine. And he makes his new focal point. And then he can go sleep in his house. So on Shabbos, in this situation, we don't look at his focal point where his house is, where he's sleeping, but we look at it, the mashchina le truma meiruve. We look at his trum, his focal point is from where his food is. So you see, it's where the food is, like Rav holds, and not like we just said, the Rav Sheshes answered, from where they sleep. Sumer says, no. Rav Sheshes says, Bahu Anan Sade, Ubahado Anan Sade. Each of these two cases, we can testify. Anan Sade means we really know what's going on. We can essentially testify to what is going on. And in fact, both of these two situations have a different answer because the circumstances are different. In the case of Rav Sheshes, it's one din because the circumstances dictate that the din should apply that way. In the case of the people in their house, having their different focal point where they put their food, the circumstances dictate we should apply it in the following way. Let's understand that now. Bahau anan sahade, or bahada anan sahade. What do we mean by that? Bahau anan sahade, in the case of the person in this house who wants to change his focal point, if he possibly could sleep there, that's where he'd like to be, because that's where he really is intending on going. That's his focal point. The mizdarle, if he could only sleep there, hotsum nichle, he would actually be happier. The only reason he's sleeping in his house is because he doesn't have a place to sleep over there. But that's where he really would like his focal point to be, and therefore, the food in that situation is really where he wants his lodging to be, and that's why, and on Sunday, we can essentially testify that's where he really wants to be. As opposed to the Talmidim, Ubahada Anan Sade, in regards to the Talmidim, if it were at all possible that they could be fed in the yeshiva where they're sleeping, they would prefer that too. The Maisule Rifta, Lu Rifta, if they could bring them the food into the base medrash, Lebei Rav, that would be even better for them. Nichlu Tve, and therefore that is proof, Anan Sade, that in each situation where they really would like their food and their lodging to be, we're both the same places. It just happens to be two different places. In the case of the yeshiva, their food is in the hotel, but they really would like it to be where they're lodging. So therefore, the lodging is the critical place. In the case of the person making the new focal point, so he has to lodge in his house because he has no other place, but he really would like to lodge where his food is. Therefore, the food becomes the ikkar in that situation. That's what it means. Anan Sade, we can essentially testify and say that's really what would be the preferred situation. Finally, Gemara concludes and says, "Boy, Rami bar Chama Ruchista. Rami Chama is Ruchista." The following shaila: Avu bino or Harav the Talmido. What is the halacha? Do we say Kirabim Damu? Do we say that they are considered like two separate people, and therefore they would have different rules in certain situations as being two separate people, which we'll outline in a moment what would be the practical ramifications of whether they're one or two, or do we say Okirhidim Damu? Or they considered like one entity? A nafkamina would be, for example, tzrichin eruv, awayin tzrichin eruv. If they're considered like two people, so then they would need to participate in an eruv, even if they're together by themselves. Or, no, they're considered like one entity, and they wouldn't need to be considered tzrichin eruv. Or, mavoi shalhen, nita b'lechi b'kora, awayin nita b'lechi b'kora. Or, would we say that if they were living in a courtyard, and they were going to be mishtativ with somebody else, so then they're considered like two people, and a courtyard has to have two batim in a chotzer, and then another two batim in another chotzer for them to be mishtatev, and there's a kula in regards to a mavoi that you need either a lechi or a korah, not both, or not a larger type of a board that we learned previously in the very beginning of the Masechta. Or if they're not considered like two houses, two separate entities, then you don't have a mavoi, because a mavoi has to have two chatzeros, each with them having two batim. And if they're considered like only one bias, so then you'd have to have the stricter rules of a chatzer and not the more lenient rules of a mavoi. That's the Gemara's question. That's what Rami Bar Chama asked to Rav Chista. Amalei, Rav Chista responds to him and he says as follows. Tinisua, we learn this in this Braisa. Avu bino, or Harav the Talmido, if you have a father and a son, or the Rebbe and his Talmid, so Bizman Sheini Moem Diurin, when there's nobody else living there, so then we view them as a single entity, Harein Ki Yechidim, and therefore it has both kulas and chumras, depending on which way you view it. The Ein Tzrich L'Ariv, if they're alone, they wouldn't have to go and make an Ariv, and as Rashi points out in a situation where they were in an inner courtyard, and there was an outer courtyard that they had Drisa Saregel to go through, so in this situation, they would be called a regel that is muteris bimkoma because they don't need an eruv chatzeros, and therefore, according to the lenient opinion of the Rabbanim, they wouldn't be ruining it for the outer courtyard if the outer courtyard made its own chotzer. We had gone through these dinim previously, again, I know this Rashi here, to get those particulars if you didn't pick it up from what I just said. But if, in fact, you would consider them as two separate entities, so that they'd have to make an Eruv Chatzeros on the inside, and then it would be a regel hoseres bimkoma if they didn't do this, and oseres alechisona would ruin it for the outer one. So, Rav Chista Paskin, no, they're considered like a single entity, and therefore, as long as there's nobody else living over there, Bizman She'eini Moem Diurin, if there's nobody else living there, Harein Ki Yechidim, they're considered like one entity. Ve'ein Tzrich L'Arit, they wouldn't have to make an Eruv Chatzeros. But paradoxically, in regards to a Mavui, it is considered a Mavui. That Mavui Shalahem Nita B'lechi D'Korit. Now, why should this be so? It should have been, on the simple understanding, it should have been that they're not considered like two separate houses, and therefore they should have all the rules of a stricter chatzer and not a mavoi. So the Rabbeinu Chananel explains over here, you can see this in the very bottom, right in the last line of the Rabbeinu Chananel, right before it says the Mishnah, and the Rabbeinu Chananel writes, Umavoi shalehen nitar b'lechi v'koru, why? Sharei bati v'chatzeros besuchos l'socho, because bottom line is, there are two houses over here, even though we consider them as one entity in this regard, we seem to consider them as two separate houses. So it seems to have the kula of both aspects. They don't have to make an Eruv Chatzeros, but at the same time, they are considered two houses in regards to the dinim of Lechi and Korah for a Mavoi. I hope I understood that correctly. Let's go on to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Chomesh Chatzeros Pesucha Zulazu. If you have five Chatzeros that are open one to the other, you can see a picture of this in the art scroll diagram next to footnote number 32. In the Illustrated Gemara on page 80 in diagram number 239, where it clearly shows that each chatzer has two houses in it, which you don't see from the footnote in the art scroll, in the diagram of the art scroll. In any event, you have these five chatzeros, chamesh chatzeros, psucha zulazu, they internally open one to the other on the inside, and then they each also have an exit to the mavui on the outside. Upsuchos l'mavui. Now, the following scenario occurs. Eruv b'chatzeros, they each made a separate Eruv chatzeros in each inner courtyard, which has several houses inside of it, which again you see in the Illustrated Gemara very clearly in diagram number 239. The lo nishtatu b'mavoi, but they didn't make a sheet of mavoyos for all five of the courtyards to be able to carry from the courtyard into the mavoi. So in this situation, mutarim b'chatzeros, lasurim b'mavoi. They're allowed to carry in their each individual courtyard with their own Eruv chatzeros. The Pesach in between them, as we pointed out previously, doesn't ruin it for them. It allows them to make a sheet of mavoyos if they wish to, or to combine in between the two chatzeros. You don't have to do a whole sheet of mavoyos to combine the two chatzeros into one Eruv chatzeros, but it doesn't restrict them if they choose not to. So in this situation, mutar mechatzeros, each separate chatzer has its own Eruv chatzeros. Each one of the five is allowed to carry from the houses into that individual chatzer and back to those houses, but not into the next chatzer. And asur mimavi, and they're certainly not allowed to go and carry into the mavi without a shita mavayus. Then we turn to the Amud Beis. However, the imnishtatfu, if they in fact made a sheet of mavoyos in nishtatu b'mavoy, so then mutar and kavakan, then they can go and carry both in the chatzer into the mavoy, mavoy into the chatzer, and from the chatzeros into the other chatzeros and into the individual batim. We'll explain in a moment to the Gemara whose sheet is this going like. In any event, that's what it says, mutarim kan v'kan. Both are allowed to be used. We'll explain why in the Gemara. However, erevu b'chatzeros v'nishtatu b'mavoy, it says if they made a separate erev chatzeros for each chatzer, and they also made a separate sheet of mavoyos, so then, if shochach echem ibnei chatzer v'lo erev, if one of the people in the chatzer forgot to participate, nevertheless, mutarim kan v'kan. They still can go and carry in all the places in the chatzer and in the mavoy. Well, we'll explain, because you'd be talking about a case where they did bittul. And again, we'll have to understand this when we go through the Gemara. But it says, mibnei mavoy, if one of the people in the mavoy didn't participate, v'lo nishtatev, so in this situation, still mutarim v'chatzeros, v'asurim b'mavoy. They can carry within their chatzeros, because nobody forgot to do the erev chatzeros, everybody participated, but since one person wasn't involved in the sheet of mavoyos, it ruins it for everybody else. And more or less, well, if there's bittul, why does it ruin it? Again, we have to wait till we get to the Gemara to answer all these questions. But the Gemara, the Mishnah explains over here, Shamavi lechatzeros kechatzel abatim. The rules of a mavi, or the chatzeros open up into the mavi, are similar to the way the chatzeros have the houses opening up into them. As we've mentioned many times, there are parallels. Gemara starts off and says, Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Especially the first part of our Mishnah is what we're going to start off with, where we said that if you made a Erev Chatzeros, it's good for the Erev Chatzeros, but it's not good for the Mavoi. So Mani, whose opinion is this? Rav Mehi, who holds the Yom Rabin and Erev Chatzeros, Ubein and Shita of Mavoyos. He had learned previously that you require both. You can't get away with just an Erev Chatzeros to carry in the Mavoi, and you can't get away with a Shita of Mavoyos to carry in the Chatzeros. So therefore, he obviously is the author of the first part of the Mishnah. Where it says, okay, fine, keep on going. Emo mitziyasa. We like to have, when it's not named as a machlokas, we like to have the Mishnah being all one tana. So that was the first scenario. But look at the second scenario, it said, in the mitziyah, in the mitziyasa, in the middle part of the Mishnah, the next part of the Mishnah says, if they only made a sheet of mavoyos, then mutar and kavakan. Then not only is it good for the sheet of mavoyos, but it also works for the erev chatzeros. That sounds like the opinion not of Rav Meir, also the Rabbanan. That sounds like the opinion of the Rabbanan. The Amri b'chadis sage, that it's sufficient if you do just one. So it doesn't make any sense. The Reisha is Rav Meir, and the Mitzios is the Chachamim. We don't normally do that when it's not attributed specifically. So where it says, you're right, holokasha, you have to reread it. The second part wasn't in accord with the Chachamim, it was actually in accord with Rav Meir, because it's v'im nishtatu nami kamar. Not that they only made a sheet of mavoyos, but it said that in the first part, they only made an erev chatzeros. It only works for the chatzeros. It doesn't work for the sheet of mavoyos. But if they also, not that they just, if they also made a sheet of mavoyos, so then they now have an erev chatzeros, and they have a sheet of mavoyos, and both are good, exactly like Rav Meir said. Okay, where it says, that's fine. You got the first part, we got it all, Rav Meir. We have the mitziyasa, the second part, all like Rav Meir. But now look at the third part. I'll keep on reading. It says, Erbu b'chatzeros v'nishtatu b'mavoy, only if you did both the erev chatzeros and the sheet of mavoyos, is it good? And we said, v'shachach echa b'bnei chatzer v'lo erev. But we said, in this situation where one of the b'nei chatzer forgot to participate and they didn't make an erev, mutar and kamakan, it's still good because you have the sheet of mavoyos to rely upon. Now, hechidami, what are we talking about? Either lo batil, if there was no bittel over here, so then why would it work? Am I mutarim? Elo, pshitu de batil. We must be talking about a case where they did bittel. Now, if we're talking about a case where they did bittul, same as seifa. Keep on reading. Shachach echam ibnei vavoy. If one of the people in the mavoy forgot, v'lo nishtatfu, mutarim v'chatzeros asur b'mavoy. Then the chatzeros is still good, but the mavoy is no good. Now, the bittul, if we're talking about there was a case of bittul, so then am I asurim b'mavoy? Why is the mavoy no good? Ah, you're going to tell me, v'chitema k'sover Rav Meir, and bittul rishus b'mavoy, that bittul rishus doesn't work for mavoy, but that's not true. Rav Meir already taught us this. Well, Tanya, we learned this on Daf Samaches, that his opinion is, Shari Bitel Lochem Rishuso Divirimeya, that a sheet of Mavayas also allows Bitul. So obviously, El Pshita de Lobatul, the Seifa of the Seifa is talking about where there was no Bitul, so it must be, when we the Seifa de Lobatul, Reshanami Lobatul, it must be talking about, you can't say that one is talking about a case of Bitul, one is talking about not a case of Bitul. So therefore, what we have is Resha of a Seifa Rav Meir and Mitziyasa Rabbanan. So now, if we're talking about Bitul, so then we have our Mishnah not ascribing to one shita. We have the Reisha and the Sefer being in accord with Rav Meir, but the middle part is in accord with the Rabbanan. This Mitziyasa is not the same Mitziyasa as we had before. This is the third section of the Mishnah. There are really four sections of the Mitzvah. This is the second middle part. And here, we're basically saying that if you have a sheet of Mavayus, even though they forgot to do the Erev Chatzeros, one person forgot, the sheet of Mavayus works. So this is the opinion of the Chachamim. So again, it doesn't make sense to say that the first and last part, which really parts 1, 2, and 4, are Rav Meir, and part 3 is the Chachamim. So Gemara says, you're right. Taka Kula Rav Meir. The entire Mishnah is all in accord with Rav Meir's Shita. So how come in this situation where the person forgot to make an Erev Chatzeros, we allow, according to Rav Meir, the Shita of Avayos to work? Because Vitaima, why is the reasoning, my Omar Rav Meir, Ba'inon Erev, Ba'inon Shita, why under normal circumstances does Rav Meir require both an Erev Chatzeros and a Shita of Avayos? Because Shalo Lishkach Toras Erev Minatinokos. Because if you were to have just a Shita of Avayos, the people in that Chatzer, everybody in that Chatzer, would not have an Erev Chatzeros. So the children growing up, they would say, you don't need an Erev Chatzeros. So therefore, the rabbi said, you need to do an Erev Chatzeros. But here, in our case, v'hocha, kivin deruba erbu, all of the Erev Chatzeros was done. One guy forgot. Hocha, kivin deruba erbu, since most people forgot, it won't lead to lo mishtakha, there won't be a forgetting over here of Taurus Erev's minatikinokos. And therefore, that's why only in this situation does Rav Meir also agree that as long as we have a sheet of mavayos, and most people did an Erev Chatzeros, except for that one guy won't ruin it for everybody else, even if he didn't do a bittul. Only over here does the Shita Mavoyos take the place of the Erev Chatzeros, but not under normal circumstances. This is the way we learned our Mishnah. But now we have an alternate way that we're learning the Mishnah. Amar Yehuda, Yehuda says, Rav Lotani Pesucha Zulazu. The first way we learned the Mishnah was that we were dealing with that there was a connection in between all of the inner courtyards, as we pointed out in the diagram in the art scroll, as well as the diagram in the illustrated Gemara, that each courtyard internally connected with every other courtyard adjacent to it, as well as having the common connection to the Mavui. But now, Rav Yehuda says that Rav holds that there was no internal connection between them. The Chenamar of Kahana, likewise of Kahana, who was a Talmud Chaver of Rav, also learned that Rav Lotani Psuchos Zulazu, that Rav didn't know that they were open one to the other, and others had it, Ika the Armory, the Rav Kahana himself, Gufe, not in the name of Rav, but he himself held Lotani Psuchos Zulazu. In any event, according to this, there was no connection between the internal Chatzeros. So now the Gemara wants to understand that Mishnah, and it says, Amalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef, Abaye says to Rav Yosef, my time of the Lotani Psuchos Zulazu, why would they not willing to learn it the way we first learned it, that they each were connected, each chacha was connected one to the other? What was the problem if you learned it that way? So Rav Yosef tells Abaye, Kisovar, because Rav's opinion is, or Rav Kahana's opinion is, Kol Shitov She'ein Machniso Motzi Derech Pesachim B'Mavoy, that if you want to do a Shit of Mavoyos, you have to do it through the Chatzer going into the Mavoy and then back into the Chatzer that you're going to place the Shit of Mavoyos in. So if you don't do it that way, Kol Shitov She'ein Machniso Motzi Derech Pesachim B'Mavoy, Lav Shmei Shitov, it wouldn't be good. And here, Rashi points out, there would be a concern that you wouldn't go through the Mavoi, you would go straight from one Chatzu into the adjacent Chatzu next to it without going into the Mavoi, and that would be no good for a Shita of Lavoyos. Where it says, Eisvei, is that really true? Balabai Shoyashutov L'Shchenov. We had learned on Daf Ayin Aleph that when you have the Balabais that wants to partner with the Chatzar on his right and the Chatzar on his left, so Balabais, Shoyashutov L'Shchenov, L'Zebayayin, L'Zebayayin, this partner he has with wine, this partner he also has with wine, so Ein Svichon L'Arv, they don't have to do an Erev Chatzeros, which we really said meant an Ashita from Avayos in that situation. So therefore, in that situation, it was perfectly good, and yet they didn't bring the barrel out in through the opening from the Chatzar into the Mavoy back into the Chatzar. They didn't have to do that. So Kasha, on what you just said, Rav Yosef, they call Shitov Sheino Machliso Motzio Derech Pesachim B'Mavoy Lav Shmei Shitov. He, you see, there was a Shitov. So where it says, no, even in that situation, in the Mishnah, on Ayin Aleph, Hosam the Av Keva Ayle. No, when they made it, they actually took it in through the opening into the Mavoy and then back into the Chatzar. Mori asks again, Eisvei, or some delete the word Eisvei, but it's basically the same question. Ketzad Mishlatim Mavoy, how do you go make a Shitov in a Mavoy? So it said that you have to go put the barrel of wine in the Chatzer, and go and say, this is on behalf of all the people. But it doesn't say that you have to go take the barrel of wine straight through the Chatzer into the Mavoy, and then back into the Chatzer again. So Gemara says, no, Hasam Nami. It says over there, the Afkei V'Aileh, there too. It is talking about a situation where you have to go and do this. So this is consistent with what Rav Yosef said, and that's his explanation for why Rav says we're dealing over here specifically with Lo Psuchos Zu Luzu. Gemara says, still, that's wrong. Maskev l'Rabba Bar Chanan, that's the girsa that we have. It really should be, according to the Bach, it should be Rabba Bar Rav Chanan. In any event, he says, El Mayato Hikne Lo Pas Besalo. When somebody is going to make a sheet of Mavoyos to all the other people, and he's supplying all the bread, so Hachanami, the low heavy sheet of, is that no good? Unless he actually carried the bread from the Chatzah into the Mavoy, and then back into his house in the Chatzah, that's no good. And you can say, yeah, that is no good unless he did this, but that's not true. Let's say a whole bunch of people were sitting together and eating right before Shabbos started, and now Shabbos came, and they want to use this bread that they're using for the Suda Shabbos, they want to use this bread for an Erev Chatzeres, and it really means for Shituf Mavayos. And some say it actually said it was a sheet of Mavoyos, and they didn't move the bread from the Chatzar into the Mavoy back into the Chatzar, and yet it's good. So Kasha and Rav Yosef, his understanding of why Rav said that the Chatzaris weren't Tani Psuchos Zuluzu. The other Rav Lo Pligi, and Rav said it makes no difference. Kam b'mesubim b'bayis, kam b'mesubim b'chatzar. It works either way for Erev Chatzeros or for the sheet of Mavoyos, and therefore this is Akasha on the way that Rav Yosef understands Rav. Whether you're dealing with an Erev Chatzeres or whether you're dealing with Shita Mavoyos, it's the same thing. It's just where they were sitting. One was sitting in the house and one was sitting in the Chatzer. So when they're sitting in the house, it's for an Erev Chatzeres. If they're sitting in the Chatzer, it's for Shita Mavoyos. But Rav, who is the one who said this over here, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, he holds that they don't have to go carry it out. They were sitting down at the table. You can't say that they got up at the table, went outside, and they came back inside. So this is Akasha on the way Rav Yosef learned Rav. Therefore, that's wrong. So Gemara comes up with another reason. Therefore, Elo Taima de Rav, who says that there was no psuchos, there was no openings in between the chutz and the chutz, is as follows. Taima de Rav, the kosavar, ein mavoi nita belechi v'korah. It's because a mavoi isn't going to be able to be permitted with a lechi or a korah unless, actually, you bought the chatzeros psuchim and socho, unless you have two houses opening up into each chutz, and then two chatzeros opening up into the mavoi. So if you don't have that, it wouldn't be good. So Rav was concerned that these chatzeros should not have any ability to go one into the other. Because otherwise, instead of being viewed as five different chatzeros with a mavoi, they would be considered as one chatzer going into a mavoi, and then they wouldn't be allowed to just have a single lechi or a korah there. That's why Rav Bedavka wanted it to be, that the chatzeros couldn't be opened up one into the other, they just opened up each into the mavoi. Gufa, we go back and discuss what we just cited. Amar Rav, Rav said, a mavi nitor belech v'korah. A mavi has a leniency to it that it can be nitar, it can be made acceptable to carry within it with either a lechi or a korah. You don't need both. And we turn to Gamal Aleph, but that's only true if it achu batim, you have to have two batim at least, the chatzeros going into each chatzer, and at least two chatzeros, psuchin l'socho, going into this mavi. That's the minimal standard. That was Rav's opinion. That's what we had said. That was the gufa. Now we also add, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel said, Afilu Bayis Echad V'Chatzer Achas. Shmuel disagrees. He says, no, you have just Bayis Echad V'Chatzer Achas. So actually says, you have Bayis below Chatzer. One of them is just a house without a Chatzer. And then the other is V'Chatzer, Shabayis Echad Acher Pasuch Lo, with just one Bayis in it. And that's enough that you can call it a Mavui, that you can be Matirit with just a Lechi or a Korah. That's also called a Mavui. And finally, we have the most lenient opinion of Yochanan Amar, Afilu Churva. Rashi explains, even if you have Mikan a Churva, the Chatz Mikan, and the other side you have a Chatzer, then Chatzer below Bayis. And the Chatzer could have one house in it, and that would also be enough to make it into a Mavui that could be matted with a Lechi or a Korah. And Amalei Abayla Rav Yosef, Abaye further discusses this. He says to Rav Yosef that Amar Rav Yochanan said, Afilu Bishvil Shel Kramim. Not only a Churva would work, but even if it was just a pathway going through a vineyard, that would be adequate as well. But Rav Yosef told him, no, that's not good enough. Amalei, Lo Amar Rav Yochanan Ela B'Churva. Rav Yochanan only said his leniency in regards to a Churva, but not in regards to a Shvil Shel Kramim, a pathway through the vineyard. Why is that? Because the Chazi Ladira, the Churba, technically somebody could live in it if they wished to. But Avol Shvil Shokrama, a pathway through a vineyard, the Lo Chazi Ladira, that really isn't something that people would sleep in. Therefore, that would not be good, even according to Rav Yochanan's Makel opinion, Lo. And therefore, in order for it to be considered a Mavoi, Rav Yochanan says at least it has to have on one side a Churba and not a Shvil Shokrama. Rav Shmuel was a little bit more Machmer. He said, Afilu Bayis Echad, Chatzer Achas. And Rav was the most Machmer. He said you needed to have two Batim opening up into each Chatzer and at least two chateros in order for it to be matted with a lechi and a korah or a korah. With that, we conclude today's shir.